way to make sure we remember everybody who continues to do that sort of work here. Thanks. Just checking in a second ago to Harry and mentioning the Avalon Volunteer Fire Department. And I'll second that. Thank you. We have a lot of anonymous calls just asking us to please acknowledge all firefighters, EMTs, police officers, and first responders everywhere for the jobs they do. And we'll gladly do that. Now, coming up, we have a documentary, a short documentary we would like to play that features some students from Somerset County and beyond who wanted to talk about Flight 93, and we'll share that with you in just a moment. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, where you will also meet honorees from the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards coming up, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, Tube City Online Media at WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM Fort Collins, Colorado, the Audio Now Network, where you can listen at 515-605-9542, and SLBRadio.org. /radio. Max Myers and Marshall Angleka were seniors. They had just finished their senior year of high school when they pitched the idea of doing a documentary on Flight 93, the plane that crashed in Somerset County 20 years ago. And when they pitched this documentary to us, which was in the summer of 2016, quite honestly, I and my coworkers were thinking, really? Don't you think that this has been covered enough? And then Marshall and Max said, you know, this happened before we were born, and we'd like to learn more about it. And it got me to thinking. I was born on Pearl Harbor Day. And when I was born, Pearl Harbor Day was 20 years my junior. And for these students, at least at this time, 9/11 was nearly 20 years behind them. And also, similarly, from a time before they were born. So they talked us into it being a great topic to cover, and you'll hear what they churned out back in 2016. This was part of a series called Inclined to Care. The inclined comes from the inclined plane at Johnstown, being a symbol of connectivity and of the region's resilience. And here now, you'll get a chance to hear Flight 93 through the eyes of Somerset County.
Inclined to Care.
Lifting the Alleghenies.
Lifting the Alleghenies.
Lifting the Alleghenies to new heights.
Go now into the cockpit. If we don't, we'll die.
For most, September 11th, 2001 is a day they will never forget. However, at the time of the 15th anniversary and forward, most high school students will have no recollection of the events of that day. I'm Max Myers.
And I'm Marshall Engelke.
Adam Schaefer is a park ranger at the Flight 93 National Park in Stoystown, Somerset County, Pennsylvania. We asked Adam to tell us a story of Flight 93, as he does for thousands of visitors annually.
Flight 93 is a United Airlines flight that's going to be scheduled for departure from Newark, New Jersey that morning on a nonstop flight to San Francisco. It's about 9:28 that morning when the four hijackers that are seated in the first class section of Flight 93 are going to get up and storm the cockpit and take control of Flight 93, incapacitating the captain and the first officer. And during the takeover, they tell the passengers and crew that are on board Flight 93 to sit down and remain calm. They threaten them with a bomb. People here later find out it's untrue that they didn't have a bomb. The passengers and the crew learn about the hijackings and that they're utilizing these planes as guided missiles, flying them into key sites across the country, and that they themselves have the opportunity to do something that they can't sit idly by. One of the passengers even says that they take a vote from the back of the plane to do something that morning. At 9:57 that morning, the passengers and crew are going to begin to fight back. They're going to rush up the single aisle of this 757 towards the front of the plane.
The plane began to fly erratically once the passengers took action.
This timeline is etched into the minds of the people of Somerset County and further ingrained into the memories of those who saw the plane that day. Ron Buxton, maintenance worker at Highland Tank, is one of the few eyewitnesses.
We were on a plant. We were painting tanks by hand, sprucing up the plant, making it look nice. It was a clear blue sky, no clouds at all. There was a shadow, and I just happened to turn to my left. When I looked up, I seen the plane. At that time, the plane was upside down. I told my buddy, do you think this is something to do with the Twin Towers? Because I just heard about the Twin Towers maybe 5 minutes before this happened.
James Broderick, Pennsylvania State Trooper, was the first person to arrive at the crash site.
When I pulled into the field, I actually drove down to the hole where Flight 93 came down. I knew that there wasn't going to be any survivors. There was a lot of fire in the trees. The biggest piece I saw of the plane was the engine section, 4 foot by 4 foot. It was all busted up and smashed. I did happen to see several feet that were in shoes. Nothing was intact.
As word spread, the people of Somerset County began to respond.
It seemed like our community around here, since we're a small rural community, we really seemed to band together. There was a lot of things brought out to the scene, whether it was food for first responders, flowers. I remember seeing people bring stuffed animals.
To honor the victims and first responders of Flight 93, and to allow future generations to understand the tragedy of September 11th, the National Park Service established a memorial. Henry Scully is the executive director of the nonprofit organization Friends of Flight 93, which supports the memorial.
The activities in the Learning Center are what's new in terms of educating school groups, corporations, community groups, things like that, as well as the new trees we've installed within the last year, as well as some new trails. We have approximately 500,000 visitors a year, so a 500,000 people to Shanksville, Pennsylvania is quite something for all these people coming to honor the 40 passengers and crew, the heroes.
In the words of James Ranston, representative from Minnesota, the heroes of Flight 93 won the first battle in the War on Terror, and they should never be forgotten.
We must remember our past and educate the future. The lives lost on 9/11 cannot be forgotten, and their story of heroism must live on.
For more information on Flight 93 National Memorial, please visit flight93friends.org.
Inclined to Care was produced by students participating
in the Community Foundation for the Alleghenies
Youth Philanthropy Internship Program
with support from the Saturday Light Brigade.
All statements or opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Community Foundation for the Alleghenies.
More information on the Youth Philanthropy Internship Program
is available at
cfalleghenies.org.
What a great job the students did, and that was recorded, produced entirely by the two students you heard. Back in summer of 2016, Marshall and Max, and you can find that if you go to neighborhoodvoices.org and search on Flight 93. That's the way I found it.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
This is Peggy Greb with the Edgewood Symphony Orchestra. We're so thrilled to be part of Radical Days, featuring free events and activities across the Pittsburgh region in September and October. We would love for you to join us for Edgewood's return to live performances on Saturday, October 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the Edgewood Presbyterian Church. This free one-hour concert will feature separate performances by our winds, brass, and string sections. Radical Days is sponsored by the Allegheny Regional Asset District. Your sales tax dollars at work in our libraries, parks, regional attractions, arts and cultural organizations, and more. Visit radworkshere.org for more information.
Well, it's time. And we're not going to let a pandemic stop us. The teen media program at Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh has existed for a long time. And we have four representatives from the program who are here with us. Today, we'll talk a little bit about their work and what they've done, and also about them as people. Too, the first thing I'm going to do is ask them to introduce themselves, indicate the school that they're from, and if you have any shout-outs or want to identify who is out there in the big audience that is behind you, feel free to do so if you've got somebody with you. And Clara, I'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Clara Gordon. I go to Winchester Thurston School, and I'm here with my dad.
Nice to meet you. What grade are you in?
I'm in seventh grade.
Did you do a From There to Here project in fifth grade with us by any chance? Do you remember who you interviewed?
No.
It's a long time ago. Well, it was nice to have you as part of that. Let's see who is sitting on your left. Hi.
Hello, my name is Basil Wettig, and I go to Westinghouse Arts Academy Charter School currently for my freshman year.
How is the school? Is this your first year there?
Yes, this is my first year. And it's really nice. I really like all the people there.
Excellent. I'm happy to hear that. And?
Hello, I'm Mackenzie Singh. I'm in 10th grade, and I go to Pittsburgh Kappa.
Nice to meet you. And you may need to scoot up just a little bit. Who's here with you?
I'm here with my mom and dad.
Excellent. And then finally?
Hi, I'm Alexa Berman. I'm a senior at Fox Chapel this year, and I'm here with myself.
Great. Well, it's nice to meet all of you. And I think you are all filmmakers. Am I right about that?
Oh, nope.
I'm getting heads. I'm getting shaking heads. My notes are wrong. Well, tell me, tell me what you've done.
I'm a painter and collage maker.
Okay, so. And?
I'm also a painter and collage.
Okay, so this is my 2D group, am I right?
Yeah, I did printmaking for mine.
I did photography for mine.
So see, I made the mistake for all of you. You don't have to worry about, not that you would be. So I'm curious about 2D art and just what got each of you interested in doing things. We'll talk about your individual works in a moment, but I think most people are very artistic when they're young, and some people manage to hold on to that, and others, including me, sort of let go of that kind of creativity. Have you all sort of seen that, and how have you held on to your creativity to keep practicing and making things? Anybody have any observations about that?
Well, I mean, I like always liked to like draw and paint, but in like fifth grade I saved up all my money and I bought this like set of like, it was like 60 nice art markers, and then ever since then I've been drawing like every day and painting and like doing all kinds of art, like collage and printmaking.
That is a way to really help encourage you sometimes, right, to have the right materials. Can anybody relate to that?
Yeah, my parents bought me a drafting table, which is the type of desk that architects and artists used. It goes up and down to be able to use to create stippling art, which is like small little dots, and then place my collages together, which was really nice. And then I've also found that going to thrift stores and going to flea markets and things like that allows me to see older art, new clothing, and all of these things that are incredibly inspirational.
Clara, Mackenzie?
I realized like being in a very creative family, you're able to bounce ideas off each other and also inspire each other to keep making art.
Sounds like you are part of a creative family. And Clara?
Well, I have always liked animals and I love to take photos of them. So a lot of the times I'll just like take photos of them, and my brother also does that, so, yeah.
And are these pets or animals in nature? Or
all types of animals, really.
Very cool. Do you have to be in the right frame of mind to create, like, the right place or just the right mood, do you find? If it were me, I always have trouble getting started and sometimes finding a place to do things. Does anybody, like, do you ever feel like you're in a rut or you need some help getting started?
I definitely feel like that a lot of the time, but sometimes I'll just, like, whenever I'm feeling like I'm in a rut or something creatively, I'll just, like, put down color on a page and then, like, draw or collage on top of that. Because then there's already something on the page, so the white paper isn't, like, intimidating, because now it's, like, bright, like, pink paper or, like, yellow or something. So then it's already, there's something there. So you already have something to build off of.
Anybody else have a thought about that?
If I'm in a rut, usually I'll just put everything down and hop on my laptop and I'll turn to the news or I'll turn to Vogue or I'll turn to Pinterest just to kind of see what other people are doing and get some inspiration from there.
I tend to start using like different little doodles I have and just mixing them together to start getting like the creative flow back.
That's a interesting to think about that. How about you, Clara?
A lot of times I'll just, like Mackenzie said, I'll just doodle something on a page and get back into the right set of mind, I think.
I'd like to learn about the pieces that were honored by Carnegie Library. And Clara, why don't we start with yours? What did you submit, and describe it, please?
So I submitted a photo of like a monkey reflecting off of a person's body. So there's like the monkey and it was on top of the person's body because I was at the zoo and the monkey was behind a piece of glass. So I took a photo of it, but yet there was a bunch of people behind it. So the reflection of all of them came on the photo. And I thought it was really interesting how it reflected off of all these people.
Very cool. So you could see the monkey through the glass and the reflections of the people from the glass.
Yeah.
Did you give it a title?
I think it was like Both or Two Worlds or something like that, where there's the nature side of the world and then the side that humans create where they're, yeah.
That's a really sharp idea. How did you, what do you think makes a good photograph?
I think just photographing something that you like and just making just something that you like to have, really.
Did you use a phone or an SLR or what kind of camera?
I used my phone.
It's amazing how good cameras, and phones are. Basil, tell me what you made.
So mine was, as I previously said, it was a print, so you had to like carve away all the white spaces that you want, and everything that you weave will be black. So mine was like, it's this like woman with like all her hair is like turning into clouds. And I thought it was actually based off of just a doodle in my sketchbook that I had transferred onto the block I use for printing.
What was your block made out of?
I'm not sure what the exact material is, but it's kind of like rubbery, almost like an eraser-like material.
Like linoleum, maybe, or...
It's a bit softer than that.
Okay, because I know sometimes it's wood that you're carving out.
Yeah,
which
that's really hard.
It's really tedious. Had you done that before?
So I'd done small, like, stamps, but this was my first, like, larger print. So it was a lot of fun. I really liked the process.
How did you print it?
I use block printing ink, and then you put it on a little brayer and roll it onto your block for printing, and then take a piece of paper and then like rub it down onto your block. I used a candle because it was just like heavy and flat, but you can use a lot of different things.
So I never knew this. So the block, you would turn it upside down and put the paper on top of it?
You can do it either way. I just do that because it's easier for
me. It sounds like it's much easier to control. You can see through the paper. Did you use multiple colors on the block?
I've tried out multiple colors, but the one that I submitted was just black because that was the one that shows up the best.
Do you think you'll do more of that style?
Yeah, I've been trying to start one, but it's really intimidating because everything you start to carve is there permanently. There's really no going back.
Yeah, you can't fill in the potholes or anything once you have done it. My brother did those for a long time as an artist, and he would get very frustrated doing it. But that sounds really cool. Mackenzie, what about your submission?
My first piece was titled Why Can't I Stop and Smell the Flowers? And it was an acrylic painting I made, kind of large. It's a woman looking in the mirror, reflecting on her younger self. And then I also had another winning piece. It was a painting slash collage work I did around a portrait of myself, kind of like big issues I thought that we were having. And I made that during the end of 2020.
Wow. That takes a lot of courage to do something. I mean, all art is reflective of the artist, but this one, it sounds like you spoke your truth in this painting, right?
And
that's incredible. Tell us about yours, what yours was like.
So two of my pieces also were winners. My first piece was titled Community Image, and it's part of a study on prejudice and how it affects our youth. It was a subject, one of my friends from Ontario, Canada, and he is a practicing Muslim, a part of the LGBTQ community, amongst other things, and the piece kind of is shown stretching his face apart just in all of these directions because he feels like his identity is questioned and sometimes put in check by the other communities he's a part of. And then my second piece, I actually don't remember the name. I think it was something along the lines of Kristallnacht, for those of you who don't know, which is the Night of Broken Glass during the Holocaust. I am a practicing Jew, and so it is a self-portrait placed on printed out pieces of Torah paper. You're not allowed to tear them up. And photos of the Jewish community and some of the injustices that have happened to us over the past few years. And it's just kind of depicting a really solemn expression.
Wow. When you say printed out pieces of Torah paper, do you mean the background of what the printing in the Torah would look like? Or
yeah, okay. It's like the words and stuff. You can't use the actual Torah. Yeah.
That I know. I just wanted to be, I didn't know if you meant printed on a scroll.
No.
But the Hebrew and the Torah is pretty unique because there are no vowels and there's a certain look to it. That sounds really breathtaking to think about. Why do you think it's important that people pay attention to art and take art in, whether they make it or not? Any thoughts about that?
I think art is more comprehensive than writing can be sometimes, because sometimes it's really difficult to put things into words. But if you were to walk through an art museum or an art gallery or even just look at something you've created yourself, that's a self-expression on the page. That's your emotion. That's something going on in the world. And so if I were to paint something about, say, the Berlin Wall, it would be a little bit easier to comprehend that than reading an article that maybe uses a bunch of big words. A small child can comprehend that, and a adult can comprehend that. But then it takes a certain degree of understanding to understand writing. So I think it's just a better way to comprehend things.
So art can meet people where they are, no matter what. Any other thoughts about the importance of art?
I definitely agree. It's a lot easier for me personally to be able to express something through visuals than having to come up to, like, create a way for me to express it through words and through writing that people fully understand what I'm trying to say. It's also just easier for people of all ages and be able to, like, give it to people of the world easier for me, I guess.
That's so interesting to me because I would have trouble expressing myself through visual arts. I'm much better able to get things across in words, but there are times when I struggle with that, and I try to draw. I could probably stand to become better at that. Any other thoughts on why art matters as part of your daily life or as the people who experience what you've created?
I find it like a very good way to like express my emotions and stuff. Like if I'm feeling anxious, drawing a lot of the time or like doodling or whatever will make me feel a lot calmer. or like if I'm feeling angry, I can express that in an artwork instead of expressing it in a more like unhealthy way. So it's a lot more, like it's a very healthy way of expressing my emotions.
Basil, that's a great statement and a real advocacy statement for having arts accessible to all, for making them. Clara, anything you'd like to add?
I was going to say something similar to what she just said, but yeah, pretty much it helps me express my emotions, and it's a lot easier than doing it by writing something down.
So I have one more question for each of you. It's my magic wand question. Forget about art for a minute, but if I gave you a magic wand that could change something in the world or make something happen that isn't already happening, and we won't hold you to the one you choose because it's hard to choose just one, but I'm curious how you would use that wand to make a change. As each of you is thinking, is there anything else any of you wanted to say that maybe you didn't get a chance to? Okay. Does anybody have a wand use idea?
I think I'd like, personally, to just kind of, not erase, but push forward from the inequality, because it's important that we learn from that. But I think that there is so much hatred, just not even just in America, but across the world. We see all these horrible things happening constantly. And I think as a society, as a race, as humanity, we need to move forward. So I would use my wand to kind of educate, I think I should say there, those who aren't willing to learn or those who aren't willing to help and push forward, just to kind of get humanity on a better track.
That's a great way of expressing it. That was Alexa. Clara, have you thought about what you might do?
Yeah, I think I would educate people about global warming and how it's going to change our world in a matter of years.
Do you worry?
How it is changing.
Do you worry about global warming? I do, too. Mackenzie or Basil, any thoughts?
I think I would want people, no matter like where they are, to be able to have a clear way for them to express what they want to say, for everyone to hear what our youth, what our generation is wanting them to hear, and have them actually listen to what we're saying.
That's a great, great wish. And Basil, we'll let you finish up.
I was just thinking something kind of similar to what was already said about like trying to like educate people and stuff like that.
Just to have people listen and learn. Well, I'm really proud of all four of you. Congratulations. If he hasn't already, Chad will let you know about how you can get involved in our podcasting programs or involved in some of the work we do, which involves expression of ideas and thoughts. You're all really good at that. And thank you so much for being with us. Any other, I always like to make sure I give you a chance to say something if I didn't ask, but everybody got everything across they wanted to? Wonderful. Well, thank you to Clara and Alexa and Mackenzie and Basil. Congratulations again. Keep in touch. Going to bring in another group of students, this time the filmmakers that I mistakenly mentioned before. They'll be with us in just a second, right after a little break. Broadcasting live, is there any other way from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations, as well as internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio.
This guitar came from a timber, from the body of a tree, through the workshop of a luthier. Now it's on loan to me, and it's good company after dinner, and it fits my hands just fine. But someday another singer with a pair of hands like mine will coax out songs much prettier, still hiding in its strings, and sing stronger, braver words than I could ever sing. And folks are gonna love it, of this I'm almost sure. So I take good care of it, 'cause I'm borrowing it from her. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're gone. Be carried for a moment, the time won't loan it to you for long. You don't own it, pass it along. This here is my country. Sometimes it's hard to recognize it, but I count myself lucky to have been born inside it. And I'm grateful for the rights others struggle hard to win, and you can be sure I'm gonna fight when they try and take them back again. Oh, and everywhere are teachers, though some fell along the way, and the words they said still reach us, just like you're teaching me here today. And you may not speak it loud, but it's clear in what you do, and I hope to make you proud, 'cause I borrowed it from you. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're gone. You carry it for a moment, time won't loan it to you for long. You don't own, pass it along. Left to use, putting patents on discovery, making seeds that don't reproduce. If our vision is so narrow, seeing only bought and sold, we'll end up like the pharaohs, buried with their gold. We've all pushed this thing along, we've all been guided by our fear, but the river sings a song we've gotta be quieter to hear. It's in every child's face, new and hopeful as a stem. Best be gentle with this place, 'cause we're borrowing it from them. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're gone. You carry it for a moment, time won't loan it to you for long. You don't own. Pass it along, pass it along. May it land in careful hands when we're.
Scott Cook with a great song here at the Saturday Light Brigade, Pass It Along. And in just a moment, we're going to introduce you to five more honorees from the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards. Scott, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that song. And it was by another Scott. Scott and Clarion mentioned how much he enjoyed hearing the song we just played by Scott Cook. Can't wait for you to meet the students who are going to join us in just a moment.
The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation is devoted to helping children and families learn about herbs, their cultivation, and uses. Additional information about herbs is available from the Herb Society of America at herbsociety.org or at mjbergerfoundation.org.
This is Chris Cox from Pittsburgh Opera. We're thrilled to be part of Radical Days, featuring free events and activities across the Pittsburgh region in September and October. Join us on October 3rd for our free Rising Stars concert by our award-winning Pittsburgh Opera resident artists. They'll entertain you with selections from some of their favorite operas, and the audience votes on the grand finale. This is a wonderful, free introduction to one of the world's most beautiful and timeless art forms, opera. Radical Days is sponsored by the Allegheny Regional Asset District, your sales tax dollars at work in our libraries, parks, regional attractions, arts and cultural organizations, and more. Visit radworkshere.org for more information.
When I see students such as those who were just with us and those who are surrounding me now, it makes me so excited for the construction we'll be doing soon that will turn the area behind you guys into a youth media center with more studios and places to create, to do things, and to perform. And I just can't wait. I'm not going to wait so long that we don't get you on now. That won't be ready for a couple months or so. But before we get too deep into things, I'd like you each to introduce yourself so folks listening know who's in the room besides me. And maybe you'd like to give us your name, where you go to school, grade, and if you have any shout-outs or hellos, whether it be somebody who brought you here or somebody else, feel free to do that. Devin, do you think you can start?
Yep. My name is Devin. I am 13 years old. I'm in 8th grade, and I go to Pittsburgh Kappa, and I'm with my parents today.
I'm Dylan, and I am 10, and I go to Dilworth, and I'm in 5th grade.
My name is Lamar. I go to Pittsburgh Science and Technology Academy, and I'd like to give out a shout out to my family for helping me with the project that I worked on to get here.
Hi, I'm Simon. I'm a 10th grader at Pittsburgh Kappa. I'm 16 years old, and I came by myself today.
Hi, I am Jacob. I am 14 years old. I am in 9th grade, and my parents are here with me.
It's wonderful to have all of you here, and I think I want to jump right into your projects first to learn more about them, because film can be describing it on the radio can be a little bit harder. So why don't we go in the same order? Devin, do you want to tell me about your submission and that was honored?
Yep. Me and Dylan submitted two things, and the first is Time to Spy, and it's about a time spy who has to go back in time to fight the past's villains.
Yeah. So you guys worked on this together,
yeah.
And they're Dylan and Devin are brothers. How did you collaborate? Can you sort of describe the process, like how you came up with the idea and then the steps you took to get to the end?
Yeah, so we usually either of us comes up with an idea, we talk about it, and then as we film it together, and then I usually edit it, and yeah.
What kind of software do you edit?
I use iMovie to edit, so yeah.
And tell me more about your role in this, Dylan.
Well, I'm the main character, and I'm the spy that has to go back in time to fight the past villains, and that's my role.
And what about the soundtrack?
I like to use a lot of music, And my parents usually help with that because, yeah, they know a lot of music, so.
That's great. And you guys are about 3 years apart from each other?
Yeah, mm-hmm. 3-4 years
apart. And that's not always that common that brothers work well together, so you're to be congratulated on that. It sounds like you like to do stuff together.
Yeah, we really enjoy it.
That's fantastic. By the way, all of these creations are available on the Instagram site CLP Teen Space. So if you go to Instagram CLP Teen Space, not only will you be able to see what we're describing now, but what we talked about in our last segment too. Is there anything else either of you two would like to say about your project?
Yeah, so we also got an honorable mention for another film.
I was going to say you had two. Yeah,
called Kick Boom Smash, and this one is about a kid named Ollie Roberts, and he looks up to this YouTuber, and this YouTuber is holding a fighting competition, so it's a fun movie.
He looks up to him. I don't want to spoil it, but does he get to meet him?
He does, yeah.
I had a feeling. Interesting. Thank you for describing those. Why don't we go to Lamar next? Do you want to tell us about what you created?
So my project actually started as a school assignment for my photography class. I had 1 week, it was the last week of school, to make a stop motion. But I had delayed the project because I had a lot of other assignments since it was the last week. And I had delayed it all the way until Thursday, which I kind of regret, but I ended up going to Thursday's class online, and I asked the teacher, hey, when is this due? I was just wondering about it, hoping it would be 11:59 on Friday or something. When he said, oh, I'd like it before the beginning of class tomorrow, so I immediately got worried. The good news is I already had typed up my script to make the video. This video was supposed to be a stop motion, as I said, and it was supposed to be a how-to tutorial. So I already had the idea of using a stop motion to make a tutorial on how to make a stop motion because I wanted to try something new. So at 4 p.m. that day, I got to work. I started taking the photos. Every once in a while, my brothers would help me. I didn't do anything else for the rest of the day except eat dinner. And then I stayed up until 3 a.m. finishing taking photos. And I'm grateful that my brother stayed up with me to help me, but I mean, he fell asleep before I did. So after I finished taking all of the photos and I was sleep deprived, since I had them already, I went to sleep. I woke up at 7 because that's when school starts for me, so almost pulled an all-nighter there. And after that, I had went through the school day, and when I came to my lunch break, I sat down and I started editing everything because I didn't have any video yet. All I had were photos. So within the 1 hour of lunch I had, I finished editing the video. I didn't know if it was good or not, and I recorded audio for it. Since I was extremely tired, I didn't know if it would be any good, but I submitted it literally as the next class started because my class was right after lunch, and after that, I volunteered to show mine to everybody in the class. The teacher really liked my assignment, and he actually said that since he has a stop motion unit for the next year of students, he wouldn't mind using it as the example since it's actually a tutorial on how to do it in the first place.
Congratulations. That's amazing. What prompted you then to submit it to the library?
So after I relaxed after submitting it, since I was really tired, I did look over it a few times and I thought it was pretty funny, and I thought, well, I want to do the Labsies this year, so I wonder what I could do. And I had this video already prepared, and there wasn't that much time left to do something new. But I did edit a few things when I sent it to the Labsies, because when I recorded the audio, I was very tired, so my voice didn't sound the best. I re-recorded the audio, I added a few extra effects that I didn't have time for, and I submitted it to the Labsies, hoping for the best.
That's just amazing, and there's so much I like about the way you told your story. First of all, I want to go way back to the beginning when you said I was hoping 11:59 was the deadline.
Yeah.
Did you mean a minute before midnight?
Yeah, because like mostly for school assignments, they were always like at the end of the day for us. And I was just really hoping that's what it was going to be on Friday, but it ended up being before class started. So I really pulled myself together for that.
You may already know this, but that's happens in the post-school world too. I have things that will be due electronically, like on a Friday, and I'm really rooting for 11:59 as opposed to, you know, 4:59 to get it done. And I'm curious, would you describe yourself as a perfectionist or detail-oriented?
I'm very detail-oriented. I do try pretty hard to, like, make it perfectly, and that is why at some points I was debating if I should submit it, because since I was asleep, some photos I didn't like that I took in the stop motion. I feel like some of the editing wasn't the best because I was asleep, and I was actually wanting to redo it at first, but then I was thinking back, and I said, well, this is unique because I somehow pulled it all together in within only, like, 8 hours, and it turned out pretty good already, and my teacher already said it was pretty well, so I thought it was good enough to submit.
It sounds like it's great. And the reason I asked you that, Lamar, is I've read that sometimes folks who have a lot of details or a vision will wait until the end to put it all together because it's that time constraint that kind of helps you get it done when you only know you have a certain amount to do. But you're still thinking about it the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what a great project that sounds like. Let's turn next. Let's see, we have Simon. And did you guys work together? Or okay, so we'll have Simon's. I just wanted to double check. Simon, tell us about yours.
Yeah, so what I made is a 2.5 minute long short film called Suspected Cinephile. And it is sort of like an absurd or experimental way of me expressing my love for movies and filmmaking. And I also spent a few all-nighters making it. I like to do a lot of work at night, but I made it in during the spring, and it wasn't for anything in particular. It was just sort of for fun. I used a lot of it as an editing experiment. I edited on Adobe Premiere, which I hadn't used before, so I was trying to, you know, learn the software and what types of things I could do, and so I filmed a bunch of footage just in front of a green screen and recorded a bunch of different lines and then sort of put a lot of it together in the editing room and just trying to create a narrative that was interesting, but also, you know, visually interesting. And
I'm amazed you got it down to 2.5 minutes. That had to be hard.
Yeah, I think I had at least over 2 hours of footage in front of the green screen, but really just like mindless footage of me mulling around. I had the idea for the short film very early on in the year, and I scribbled down a bunch of notes and I sort of created a rough draft of a script. And then from there, I decided to just start recording some scenes and visuals in front of the green screen. And I had specific things that I wanted to use, but I actually found that what I ended up using more of was footage that, at least in terms of the green screen segments, was footage that I hadn't planned for and was just like a glance that I made to the camera in between like switching out things and like playing with the speed of that and trying to make it dramatic.
It's hard to make something short, and it's also hard if you're the subject of the film or if you're appearing in the film, right, to judge what you want to use and what you don't. What a great sounding project, and it's called Suspicions.
It's called Suspected Cinephile.
Oh, Suspected Cinephile. I like it. Do you have a favorite movie or two? That's hard to pick.
Ooh, I love Scooby-Doo Curse of the Lake Monster. I've always been a huge Scooby-Doo fan, but I also really love a few of my other favorites are The King of Comedy, Midnight Cowboy, Synecdoche, New York, and Federico Fellini's 8 and a Half.
These are all great films. Let's turn now to Jacob, who has a project. I'll let you pivot that microphone over a little closer to you. And tell us about your project.
Okay, so my film was called, it's kind of an interesting and not, Move In, San Quentin Shredding. So it's a mountain biking short film, and it was just based on some other films that I had to do for school.
Uh-huh.
And so it kind of starts off, so it's at my, so there's a park that's by my house, and about 10 years ago, some kids built dirt jumps. And when I moved there, about a year and a half ago now, I found these jumps, and after 10 years, the dirt was really rotting away and all sorts of stuff. So I spent the past year cleaning them up, redoing them, rebuilding the berms, the jumps, the landings. And I finally decided to make a little film project because I saw this competition through the Carnegie Library, and it just sounded really interesting. And I've already done a film project for school that was based on my mountain bike, and so I felt pretty prepared for it. And the name actually came from the name of my mountain bike. So it's by Marin Bikes, which is a California-based company out of Marin County. And San Quentin is... all the names of places around Marin County. So they have a Marin bike called the Alcatraz, as in the Alcatraz prison. And then mine was after a prison too, called San Quentin. And it's just all different names. So it really just came out very well.
Does your film, is the perspective from the bike or the rider? Did you mount a camera to the bike, or are you instead filming the bike?
It is more of a third-person film because I don't think I had my GoPro at the time, so yeah. I couldn't really get any first-person footage. But I did have my dad help me film some segments of it.
Very cool. And you did the jumps and
yep.
Some of the – gosh, that sounds amazing. And did you live out – west, or you've got great knowledge. Do you just have that knowledge of Marin County from the bike line?
Yeah, I just have that knowledge of Marin County.
Yeah, it sounds good. So let me ask all of you just to comment on film and its importance. I guess from a maker's standpoint or maybe a viewer's standpoint, any thoughts on why it's important to have opportunities to make independent films, whether they be shorts or motion pictures?
I mean, yeah, I feel like filmmaking is all about collaboration because you have the people that help you make it. So I think that's pretty important. So, yeah.
That's a great thought. Anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that in terms of collaboration, and not only collaboration between people, but collaboration between art forms. I think film is a very unique art form where it combines a lot of things. It combines, you know, photography, visual arts, acting, writing. It's really all the art forms put into one, which I think makes it very interesting.
That's another good point, Lamar.
Yeah, I agree with what he was saying. It does add a lot of art forms into it, and it's also sometimes very challenging to make sure you have an even balance of everything that he was saying. And you also have, and if you're making a story or a video, you have to have some sort of good plot so that you interest people in wanting to actually see your video. So it can be complicated at times.
And I think, almost breaking off Simon's point about how filmmaking is photography and writing, a picture is 10,000 words, and when you have a picture, when you have 30 pictures every second in a film, that can speak so much more than just a single photo.
It's a great, all of you have great observations. Let me turn to Dylan. Anything that you think is important when you're making or watching a film?
I agree with Devin that collaboration is important to get new ideas from your collaboration, and yeah.
Yeah, things come out that individually you might not have thought of. Well, you know what I'm going to ask to finish up, because you heard the earlier group. I'm going to ask my magic wand question. First, I hope that you'll consider getting involved with our Youth Media Center, because as you might expect, looking around here, we're pretty good at radio, so we could use some video people. Did anybody want to say something that they didn't get a chance to say regarding your project or the process or acknowledgments? You all, yep, Simon.
Sure, I guess I'll just say that there were a few people that helped me out and appeared briefly in my film that I'd like to thank. And those are my friends, Oliver, Evie, Bryn, Oli, Maggie, and then my brother let me borrow his camera, and my cousin Aya helped me film some things. So thank you.
Excellent. Anybody else, Lamar?
Yeah, I would like to make some acknowledgments. I would like to thank both of my brothers, because first of all, one of my older brothers, he let me use his Legos to make the film in the first place, so I'm happy that he let me do that. And my other brother for staying up with me to, like, encourage me to finish.
And to keep you awake, right?
I mean, I feel like I was the one keeping him awake. Every once in a while, I'd look over, call his name, because he was kind of asleep while I was taking photos. And I'm happy he let me use some of his editing softwares to put the video together. And I'm happy my family encouraged me to finish and gave me the time throughout the whole day, since I was already in a rush to finish it.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank our friend Mason, who played one of the characters in the film. We couldn't have done it without him. There was an original version of the movie where Dylan played both characters, and that didn't work out. So it really, really did help. So
excellent. That had to be tough to do both of them. And some additional acknowledgments?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my dad for coming out and helping me film for that hour or so in the evening. It was a huge help in getting the project done, because when you have moving shots, it always looks better than just a standing camera up on a tripod.
Excellent. Well, does anybody have a magic wand idea, a way to change? Devin's going to start.
I mean, I hope COVID goes away soon, because I want to go out and collaborate with people on film and stuff. So, yeah. I agree with Devin.
Thank you. Any other ideas, Simon?
I think it was Mackenzie in the last group who mentioned that it would be great if everyone could get a chance to say what they want to say and express what they need to express. And I think in that same regard, I think as a whole, everyone needs to listen to people more and not only say, but really keep an open mind in all different aspects of life and just try to better coexist as humans.
Yeah, I
okay, that's my fault, sorry.
I agree with what he says. I do really feel like everyone should have an open mind when talking with one another and listen to what others have to say, so that everything can work way smoother and everyone can be happy.
Shouldn't take a magic wand, should it? It seems so simple, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think this one's like a very small step, but more knowledge in storytelling. Because with storytelling is the first step in expressing yourself and helping others understand different cultures and such like that.
That's a great thought. Jacob and Simon and Lamar and Devin and Dylan, thank you. I hope this isn't the last that we'll see of you. Congratulations on your honors. And you can see these films at Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's Instagram site, which is at CLP Teen Space, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green. And in just a minute, singer-songwriter Mark Dignam will join us. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, RadioPhoenix.org, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, and slbradio.org/radio. Fred Kohler at the Saturday Light Brigade. Boy, if you were here for us during or with us during that last hour, what a breath of fresh air to have nine creative students ranging in age, I'm looking at making sure I've got everything correct here. Yes. Ranging in age from 10 up to 15, talking about their creations. And the nice thing, too, is having so many different schools represented: Winchester, Thurston, Chartiers, Fox Chapel, Westinghouse Arts, Charter School.